Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now the final weekday installment of our series, Reefer Managed, where we've been reporting on all things weed for the last 3 weeks, ahead of our three-hour national call-in tomorrow called Ask a Legal State. And join us tomorrow when we will do just that. We'll connect New Yorkers and New Jerseyans, where we're considering legal weed, with people in Colorado and California and elsewhere, and ask people from legal states about the highs and lows and best and worst ways to go on marijuana law. That's tomorrow from noon to 3 Eastern Time on WNYC and on public stations around the country. And in this three-week series, we've covered public health issues from addiction to psychosis to medical weed. We've dove into the history of cannabis criminalization and how lawmakers are hoping weed taxes will reinvest in the communities that have been hardest hit by the drug. We debated decriminalization and legalization with top advocates on either side, and we talked about the thriving illicit market, even in legal states. So now we're going to conclude with two very short interviews, and we did run over with Congressman Nadler because of the breaking news. But let's take a very quick look at the future of pot nationally and have a quick check-in with our New Jersey reporter, Karen Rouse, who's covering the legalization debate in Trenton. Joining me first to talk about what industry leaders and experts think will be the future of cannabis legalization in the country is Amanda Chicago Lewis, columnist at Rolling Stone. Welcome to WNYC, Amanda. Thanks for your time.
Great to be here.
And your article is called Why 2019 Will Be the Year of Weed. What do you mean by the year of weed?
Well, as you know, I come up with all the headlines for my own articles.
Right, like all writers everywhere.
Exactly. We're seeing great progress here. I mean, is this going to be the year of weed? Well, I guess we'll see. There are a lot of people who are saying they think, you know, if Trump really wants to get support from a majority of millennials, he's going to move on legalization next year. So maybe next year will be the year of weed. I guess we'll see.
Well, so that means that there's federal stuff on the table, as well as what's going on state by state. And there is something called the States Act. Would you describe that to our listeners?
Sure. The States Act is the federal piece of legislation on cannabis that is most likely to move this year. It is a very narrow piece of legislation at this moment that would mostly solve the financial issues of the cannabis industry, which do have, you know, big public safety implications. So if you have a marijuana business, especially one that touches the actual cannabis plant, like growing or owning a dispensary, you can't use a bank account legally, and you can't take deductions on your taxes. So this causes all sorts of problems and certainly means that working and operating in the marijuana industry is not nearly as profitable as everybody believes. And so, you know, largely pushed by industry lobbyists, this bill could make a difference on that front, but would probably not have that big of an effect overall. The cannabis industry is still miles ahead of the government here.
Right. And the States Act, as I see, would give anyone following state marijuana laws a reprieve from federal consequences, meaning, as you were getting at, that weed businesses could get bank accounts, which they can't right now because the business is still federally illegal, take tax deductions, and stop freaking out about potential criminal liability while they're in a legal business according to their states. But politically, you said, you know, maybe Trump and anyone else might lean toward this for millennials' votes in 2020, but some cannabis activists say he'll never sign anything that Elizabeth Warren puts forward, and this is her bill.
For sure, yeah. And, you know, there's also a sense that the cannabis industry is actually, in certain ways, more profitable right now with this distance between state law and federal law. It means that instead of having consolidated enormous businesses like what we're seeing in Canada, there's more of an opportunity for small businesses to get in. And since there's such a huge overlap between the legal market and the illicit market, it means that you get more profits, right? When you have the ability to sell things without taxes and you can quietly move things across state lines and there isn't very much oversight, inevitably you're going to make more money than in a highly regulated industry.
Yeah, and research is also at stake. Many of the doctors and researchers we've spoken to for the series have told us there hasn't been enough research done on all kinds of cannabis-related things because of federal prohibition. I'm curious if, per your reporting, that's changing, even if marijuana isn't federally legal.
It's not really changing. It's moving a little bit faster, but generally research is this unfortunate catch-22 where everyone says, well, we can't legalize until we know more, but in fact, we can't know more until we legalize. So most of the research we have is in animals. It's being done abroad. The very limited stuff that's being done in human beings is usually not the kind of, double-blind, placebo-controlled, peer-reviewed stuff that we'd want to see about a medicine that's being used as widespread as cannabis is.
And I'll throw in one other before we run out of time. Since our focus has been what's going on at the federal government level, you reported on the so-called HEAL initiative, which focuses on solutions to the opioid epidemic. What's the relationship between that and cannabis?
So, there is a widespread belief and some science showing that people replace opioids with cannabis when it is available. A lot of those studies are more correlational right now, since it's very hard to study the actual cannabis plant. The HEAL initiative could potentially open up some money in conjunction with the legalization of CBD under the Farm Bill, where we see people studying CBD as a replacement for opioids. But the regulations around CBD are moving very slowly, so I think that's perhaps less optimistic than we were in January about that. But more information is sort of coming out every day. It's just not coming out through the sort of professional research, scientific, evidence-grounded channels that we would like them to.
Rolling Stone magazine columnist Amanda Chicago Lewis, who almost stands by the title of her new article, Why 2019 Will Be the Year of Weed. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
And we turn for our final guest in this series to our own New Jersey reporter, WNYC's Karen Rouse. It's the whole peg for this series has been that in New Jersey and New York, it's being debated so seriously. Let's learn as much as we could learn as they head toward possible votes over the next couple of weeks, couple of months. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Brian.
So where are they in Trenton on this now?
Well, right now, they're dealing with the budget. So you're just seeing budget hearings going on. And I think that the next time that marijuana could come up for a vote would be in May. Mid-May or late May, that's when the Senate and the Assembly are next going to have their voting sessions. It was March 25th when they had the voting session where they pulled the bill because there weren't enough votes in the Senate. So right now, I think that you're seeing a lot of the legislators out in their communities really just talking about marijuana legalization, trying to get people to get used to the idea that marijuana is not some drug that they need to fear. And then you have folks who are in opposition really warning about the dangers. So I think there's going to be arm twisting still to try to get those votes. But right now it would be either mid-May or late May. And if it doesn't happen then, probably later in the year after they deal with the budget.
One of the things that I think we've learned in the series is how difficult it is in legal states to get some equity for people from communities that were so affected by criminalization. The big pot industry is getting to open up most of the stores and have the farms and et cetera. And I know that's been an issue in both New York and New Jersey. How optimistic are you, or how does it look like they may be able to learn from any of the other states' experience and actually do this successfully in the Garden State?
Well, I think that they, I've listened to some of your guests, and I know that there is a concern that even in states like Massachusetts, where they've tried to build into the legislation provisions that allow for the smaller operator to get in, that sometimes on the local level, things don't work out, because the state is doing this, and sometimes the municipalities have their own ideas about how these businesses will operate. The bill in New Jersey does include provisions for micro businesses, so it does allow for smaller operators, operators that have a certain percentage of people that must be from New Jersey, so that you don't have the industry sort of coming in and taking over. But I think what we're seeing is that we learn as each state legalizes, we learn from the mistakes of that state and the prior states. And right now, I think it's yet to be seen because it is an expensive industry. Opening a marijuana business, I mean, it takes hundreds of thousands of dollars because of it being illegal on a federal level. You know, Amanda talked about some of the banking issues. You know, you need to own your building. Just all of those things play into it and make it difficult for the smaller operator. But I think that they're trying in the New Jersey bill. I don't know if it'll actually, you know, really be fair in the end.
You need to own your own building? I hadn't heard that one before. You can't be renting for your pot dispensary?
I should clarify that. So because it's illegal, the federal government considers marijuana or cannabis to be illegal. If you want to mortgage a building, you may have problems with your bank because the bank doesn't want to lose their charter.
I see.
So you need to have a pretty good either own your building or have an understanding with your landlord that this is exactly what you're using the building for, and they need to be okay with that. There could be higher costs if you need to own your own.
Interesting. WNYC's New Jersey correspondent Karen Rouse. Karen, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And one more reminder that our three-hour national call-in tomorrow called Ask a Legal State is coming up tomorrow at noon. We will do just that. We will ask questions of people in the 10 legal states, or some of them anyway, and connect New Yorkers and New Jerseyans and people from Connecticut, where it's also allegedly in the works right now, considering legal weed. Connect you with people in Colorado and California and elsewhere. That's Ask a Legal State tomorrow at noon until 3 o'clock Eastern Time here on WNYC. Hope to talk to you then.